Hey, what's up? How you doing, everybody? Welcome back to the show. This week, it's our conclusion of our three-parter on Volvo. We're talking racing today. It's going to be an adrenaline-fueled, gas-burning, fire-breathing episode.
And if you've been listening to part one and part two, and you're like, when are they going to get to the wagons racing? Well, honcho, it's this episode.
That's right. Let's get to it. When people think of the Nürburgring, they often picture Porsche 911s, BMW M3s, and Audi R8 GT3 race cars getting airborne over its storied, treacherous tarmac during its famous 24-hour race. But what if instead of very purposeful GT3 fare, a comparatively bland-looking sedan was carving through this narrow, winding circuit? It doesn't have much aero bolted to its body, but considering the amount of air it's getting over curbs and jumps, and its bright blue paint and the high-pitched howl coming from its straight-cut gears, it's definitely a beast in its own right. The car doesn't have a Porsche or Ferrari badge, or even an Audi one. It's a Volvo, and it dominated the World Touring Car Championship in 2017. And it's only a small chapter in the incredible racing history of Volvo, Polestar, and Team Cyan. Today on Pass Gas, we're going to tell you all about it. Where do these Volvo teams come from? What's the deal with Volvo's underrated performance division? What is Cyan up to now? And why the hell is Polestar making EVs? Put on your seatbelt. This is the final installment of Volvo.
Yeah, Nolan, I've been wanting to say this for a while. You're definitely a beast in your own right.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is part three, the final part of our Volvo story here. If you've been sticking with us, thank you very much. And if this is your first time listening to the show, I think you'll have a good time, but definitely go check back the first two episodes of this series and everything will hopefully make a little bit more sense. My name is Nolan Sykes. I am joined by Bart Bidlingmeyer.
Hello.
And Joe Weber.
Everyone listening is definitely a beast in their own right.
That's right. A beast in my own right would be a great Instagram description.
Like right-wing memes?
Maybe.
Like only punching down on people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But we missed something.
Oh, what?
No one has asked you what you did this weekend yet.
Oh, I mean, I didn't ask you either.
I'm just trying to be nice.
I appreciate that, Joe. What did I do this weekend? What did I do this week? I
got head
hit
rot.
I got hit in the head really hard. Yeah, watch the Super Bowl, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It seemed I was doing stuff too. We went to IKEA and
nice little Sunday.
Yeah, we went at like maybe 2 o'clock and I was like, there's no one's going to be at IKEA.
Yeah.
Ah. It was packed. And we heard like three other people just in passing go like, well, I thought it was going to be like dead because of the Super Bowl. Everyone had the same idea.
It's like going to a Chinese restaurant on Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be, it's going to be dead. No. Yeah.
No.
No.
No. No, no, no. The chop suey is fine.
Well, it's good to know. Don't go to IKEA on that Super Bowl.
But speaking of Swedish meatballs.
Let's talk Volvo. Let's continue this story. While Volvo might be best known for safety, the company has never pigeonholed itself into one particular area of expertise. Believe it or not, Volvo has a ton of motorsports history. I mean, we touched on that the previous two episodes. We tickled it.
Yeah.
They heavily invested in performance early on, not only to improve its research and development, but to bolster Volvo's marketing. As it turns out, the race on Sunday, sell on Monday philosophy works just as well for 200-mile-per-hour V8 death traps in Alabama as it does for wholesome brown Swedish boxes. The competition department was a motorsport arm of the company that saw success in rally races with the PV544 and the 122 models during the 1960s. One man who secured most of Volvo's victories early on was factory driver Gunnar Andersson. Gunnar helped transform the competition department into a fully-fledged performance division of Volvo called the Volvo Competition Service. You can trace all of the sporty R Volvos back to this very branch. Spurred on by the rally racing happening in Southern California, of all places, Volvo opened a distribution center in Torrance, just south of where we are right now. Through this new branch, anyone can pick up a catalog and order competition service performance parts from the sport line that fit their Volvo 140 straight from the dealership. Tuning kits, gauges, suspension, rally lights, decals. You could customize your Volvo to whatever degree you saw fit years before anything else like this existed.
Check out this catalog, though.
This is crazy, yeah, dude.
It's really sick.
Torrents of all places.
I know. When you think of Southern California racing, you don't really think of like rally racing down here.
No. That's so bizarre. When I lived in Hollywood, my mechanic had an old Volvo race car.
Like a 140? Or what?
I don't know. It was always up on the... It was always up getting fixed. I never got the perfect look at it. But he used to kind of just sit and watch videos while his guys did all this work. And he'd take it out.
But this catalog that we're mentioning is from 1979. Yeah. And it's so sick.
This is very cool. We should put some screenshots of this up on our Instagram when this comes out.
The light kits are pretty sick. Halogen fog light kit, grill fog light kit, rally driving kit, auxiliary driving lights, Canada only.
Mm.
Different brackets. This is great.
This
man.
Is really neat.
Did you get to the jacket part? The rally jackets?
No. All the suspension? Get out of here.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, I was streaming my summer car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember
which
that.
Which is a
mm-hmm.
Finnish, yeah, yeah. Like this weird game where your parents go out of town and you build a rally car and you get a catalog exactly like this where there's like two different suspension kits, two different tuning kits, all these lights and stuff. And it's just very
super
like,
cool, dude.
Yeah. Oh man, I want one of those jackets so bad. Yeah.
Look at all the racing helmets. This is just a snapshot in time. This is great.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. By 1979, the division was renamed the R Sport Department, with the R standing for racing.
Or rally.
And rally, yes. And in the 1980s, that's rad. In the 1980s, the Volvo 240 Turbo, a car beloved by college professors and holistic healers around the globe, was selected for racing duty. The trusty sedan took on an entirely different persona and saw battle in the 1985 and 86 touring car championships. The 240 looked very out of place on track next to its contemporaries, but fans loved it, affectionately calling it the Flying Brick. The Flying Brick title definitely didn't hold it back, as Team Eggenberger Motorsport claimed the series title in 1985. The odd choice in race cars didn't stop there for Volvo. With the help of F1 engineering brainiacs Tom Walkinshaw Racing, Volvo entered their 850 wagon and the less interesting 850 sedan in the super touring class.
Ooh, sedans.
Of the 1990s.
Oh, the resident sedan guy's got something to talk about now.
Are you guys going to smash another glass on Joe's head? The FIA rule set during the era set a displacement limit at 2 liters, allowed minimal aero modifications, as well as rear, front, or all-wheel drive. It was also a glorious era for cool-looking sedans, as all the entries had to have 4 doors.
This is my favorite Volvo racing era. Mm-hmm. These 850 wagons look so sick.
We've talked about Walkinshaw, haven't we? Dude,
I think him racing the Jaguar XKS or XJ, whatever, at Bathurst is like the sickest racing video I've ever seen.
Oh man. I mean, yes, these Volvos, these wagons, I mean, these are iconic as hell. But dude, don't sleep on that sedan either.
The sedan's sick too.
Yeah. Sick.
Clearly the writer has some opinions.
But here's the top reason why Super Touring kicked ass. Every manufacturer wanted a piece of the action. Audi A4s and BMW 320i's demonstrated some of the greatest all-wheel drive versus rear-wheel drive battles ever seen. Honda Accords rubbed fenders with Dodge Stratuses.
I drive a Dodge Stratus!
Alfa Romeos chased down Nissans. Every flavor of 90s four-door compact was on the Super Touring grid. And it's in Super Touring where Volvo really defined its performance craft. And the players who were instrumental in boosting Volvo's factory performance efforts, including the Polestar name, entered the picture during this era. These Volvos, by the way, are slammed on their little nuts, dude.
Yeah.
These things are they're so low to the ground.
Super low.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
Thanks to the Super Touring rule set and the variety of hardware it brought into the paddock, the 90s truly were a golden era of touring car racing. Individual series cropped up all over the globe. It seemed like almost every European country had their own, with leagues like the British Touring Car Championship, BTCC, and Germany's Super Tourenwagen Cup, STC, being two of the biggest. When 1996 rolled around, Sweden joined in the fun with its Swedish Touring Car Challenge, STCC. The first team to sign up was Flash Engineering, the official Volvo factory-backed effort running the less venerable 850 sedan. He really doesn't like, Peter Nelson doesn't like the sedan.
Let it be known.
The name Flash comes from one particular Swede, renowned pro driver Jan Flash Nilsson. His background was in Formula Ford and Formula 3, but once he caught wind of this new series, he jumped at the opportunity.
Jumped really high.
And I just want to say, Volvo, when the 240 Turbo came out, they actually sponsored the 240 Turbo Cup. So they, it was like a factory-sponsored spec race. So going back to Jan Flash Nilsson, Flash claimed the STCC title in 96, 97, came in second in 98 behind the wheel of a fresh new Volvo S40 Super Touring car powered by Volvo's well-known B5 five-cylinder. Flash and the new S40 were responsible for a run of success for Volvo Motorsports, taking second overall in 2001, 2002, and 2003. That year saw the debut of the Volvo S60 as the company's dedicated racing platform, which also signified the end of Super Touring rulebook. 03 marked the beginning of the new FIA S2000 rule set that most popular touring car series, including the STCC, would begin to utilize. The main difference between S2000 and Super Touring is cost. By its end, Super Touring became astronomically expensive to prep cars for. The FIA instituted S2000 to bring costs down to allow more teams to join in. For 8 years, Flash built up quite an operation and cemented the Volvo name as a force to be reckoned with between the green and checkered flags. In 2004, he sold the team to chief mechanic Christian Dahl and left to pursue other ventures.
I've been to a fair amount of track days, I think, and I never see Volvos, ever.
That's because I think, at least in America, it is seen as like the boring professor car.
Yeah. But dude, if you found an S40 with that B5 for a good price.
Yeah. That's like a Professor X car.
Now led by Dahl, the team claimed second place in the 2004 championship with driver Robert Dahlgren at the helm, foreshadowing for the massive success the team would have in the coming years. Under Dahl's stewardship, the team changed its name to Polestar in 2005. In his own often quoted words, the name, quote,
I don't want to do an accent.
You though, gotta right? do it.
Okay. We've gotten to the third episode without doing a Swedish attempt.
Yeah. The name, quote.
All right. Cue me up again.
The name, quote,
represents the frozen north of Sweden with the Polestar, and also playing on the connection to Polestar position and star of racing.
Great.
No, it wasn't. It turned into like
a little Russian,
a little bit Ukrainian. Yeah. At the end there. It's my bad.
The following year marked a major step forward for Polestar Racing as it started to become more integrated into Volvo's own operations. Since Flash was around, it was the factory supported race team, but now it would work even closer with the Swedish automaker. Polestar was utilized for all sorts of development, such as Volvo technician training and developing and producing training equipment for technical schools in Sweden. Polestar also developed the Volvo Training Car Program, which supplied Volvo cars to Swedish high schools for educational purposes and handled a lot of the brand's research and development work.
That's sick.
All along the way, its racing effort never let up either. In 2007, Polestar developed a bioethanol race engine for its S60 STCC program, making it one of the first racing teams ever to run on fossil-free fuel. Very interesting.
Another nod to Big Corn.
Big Corn. All the sporty innovations made by Polestar had a trickle-down effect on the consumer cars Volvo was pushing at the time. The 2000s saw the first R-Design Volvos debut since the 1995 850 T5R. Offered as a high-end trim level for the V70, C30, S40, V50, and XC90, the blue badging offered plenty of upgrades, from color match bumpers to electronically controlled suspension to interior flares and limited edition leather. But aside from the aesthetics, the R badge also meant more power, in some cases, 100 more horsepower. The S60R featured the turbocharged 5-cylinder, now making 300 horsepower and with an extra intercooler. A 6-speed manual was offered. It had functional aero, including a front splitter and low-profile spoiler on the rear. The 2004 S60R had a 0-60 time that was 0.4 seconds off the M3 of that year to boot. The V70R wagon was meant as a replacement for the popular 850 T5R and came in one of the sickest colors ever offered by Volvo, saffron metallic.
It is the best orange.
That's a very nice orange. It's like a burnt orange.
And with the gunmetal wheels.
Yeah, that looks nice. So sick. That looks nice. The XC90R was the only R model that offered a V8, and in this case, the jointly developed 4.4-liter Yamaha V8. Dude, that sounds sick.
I was looking at these for a while.
Yeah?
Because the XC90, now it's in like an SUV. It's their biggest SUV. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was just the biggest station wagon.
Hmm.
Bart, out of all these models, which would you which would you pick?
I think the V70R wagon is pretty sick.
V70. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what Austin has.
He does. Yeah. He's got a silver one.
The silver, yeah. It's
pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
When 2009 rolled around, the C30 hatchback was Volvo's new touring car racing platform. The C30 was Volvo's three-door hot hatch that sported a turbocharged 5-cylinder engine, the same one found in the contemporary Ford Focus RS.
Bet you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. It is immensely handsome as a street car, but even more so when set up for motorsport.
This was, I was like, before I got my Audi, I was like, I'm getting one of these C30 turbos.
Now, these things are really unique. They're sick as hell. Yeah. I'd be down with one for sure. Polestar's Robert Dahlgren won the STCC Drivers Championship that year in a Polestar C30. Between him and his teammate, Tommy Rustad, Polestar claimed pole position at every single race. This team was unstoppable and proved that five generations of the brand's wholesome platforms since Flash Engineering could wipe the floor with the competition. That same year was yet another major development for the Swedish racing firm, jumping into creating upgrades for road-going Volvos direct to the dealership parts counter. Volvo's website still has an ancient link that reveals a bit more about its strategy. In cheesy PR speak, Volvo says that, quote,
Polestar performance optimization enhances driving pleasure and increases the performance of your Volvo. The technology has been developed by Polestar in close cooperation with engineers at Volvo. The car feels more active to drive while simultaneously increasing safety in situations where further performance is required. For example, when overtaking.
That is funny to frame performance around, oh, it's safer because you can overtake easier.
Yeah.
Yep.
This was achieved with sportier ECU tuning, and as far as we can tell from our research, nothing else. The C30 already made 227 horsepower from its turbocharged 2.5-liter inline 5. The tune added 23 horsepower and 29 foot-pounds of torque, plus a throttle recalibration for better response. Back in 2012, American automotive journos got to sample both a factory-tuned and untuned example back-to-back. They found the throttle to be far snappier than the untuned model, with noticeably more power all over the rev band.
All over that band.
Plus, smoother delivery as it climbed up the rev range.
Yeah, climb up my rev range.
Not bad for the same rated fuel economy and a full powertrain warranty. Volvo and Polestar also built a one-off, heavily modified C30 Polestar concept vehicle. It was packed to the gills with a bunch of performance parts, including...
Pack my gills. Sorry, I'm gonna stop.
Stronger pistons, rod, and crank from the S60R. It had a bigger intercooler and turbo from a foreign market diesel engine to push a lot more boost. It had Ohlins coilovers and massive brakes that were bolted up under its wheel wells. And finally, this thing came with a Haldex all-wheel drive system with Quaife limited slip differentials thrown on to help put its ravenous power to the ground. All said and done, this thing put out 450 horsepower from its little 2.5-liter, nearly 200 horsepower per liter. That's crazy.
That's nuts.
That's nuts. That's 90 horsepower per piston.
What does your Fusion make per piston, Bart?
I don't know. It's anemic as a car journo. I hate trying to accelerate in that thing. Even with the electric engine, like the poor thing's just crying.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
People thought I was genuinely making fun of your fusion.
Oh.
In the Big Three episode. And people in the comments were like, Joe jokes around, but my fusion makes 327 horsepower. I was like, no, yeah. I do like your
there
fusion.
There are some, but my fusion doesn't make 300. Oh. There are some fusions that have like a decent amount of power. Mine's not one of
them. I just remember.
Just a little, you know, three banger plus electric.
It's got the three cylinder, the 1 liter.
I think so.
We were going to lunch near our old office and you were taking your car. And for no reason at all, in the middle of the day, we're just having a conversation. And then you'd like, the light had turned red already. And you're like, hold on. You took this huge.
Was this left in the Taurus or the?
This is in your Fusion.
Okay.
You took this huge left screeching turn through a red light. We're going to like a lunch. Ramen place. You're like, hold on.
I must have been hungry.
But it was very funny and I felt like a little, it felt dangerous for no reason.
It's more fun to drive a slow car fast.
Yeah.
If you go for, if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no,
you no longer,
longer
call yourself a racer.
A few years later, in 2015, a major yet totally foreseen event happened. Volvo bought the entirety of Polestar. It was only a matter of time. The two names were dear companions in performance for so many years. Why wouldn't Volvo cash in and have easy access to every bit of the intellectual property, its engineering facilities, and so on? In the wake of the sale, the now former Polestar race team returned to the singular role of racing. So, Christian Dahl changed the name to Cyan Racing. Dahl's statement on the matter reads, quote,
"We are extremely satisfied with the way performance business with Volvo has developed. But we are a racing team, first and foremost. This is an opportunity to return our full attention to our core business, to develop and race Volvo cars."
And develop and race they did. Behind the wheel of newer Volvo S60 touring cars in the 2016 season, Cyan not only claimed its fourth consecutive championship in the STCC, but won the second-to-last race in the WTCC. Then, in 2017, the team won the 2017 WTCC championship. Huh.
The whole enchilada.
They won the 2017 WTCC championship in 2017?
Yeah. The championship being the World Touring Car Championship.
They won the 2017 World Touring Car Championship.
Yeah.
In 2017. Yeah.
Got it.
You would think a change up in names and presumably personnel would require a bit of time to adjust to, but this absolutely wasn't the case for the newly named Cyan operation. It has carried on business as usual. On the entirely in-house production car front, Volvo came out with the 2015-17 S60 and the V60 Polestar. All combined, just 583 were sold here in the States. And when it came to the 2017 model, the S60 got a highly tuned twin-charged, meaning supercharged and turbocharged four-cylinder engine. It made 362 horsepower and 347 foot-pounds of torque.
Damn.
60 more horsepower than stock by bolting up a bigger turbocharger, giving it more aggressive valve timing, stronger connecting rods, a high-capacity fuel pump, and more free-flowing exhaust system, plus a host of chassis, drivetrain, and aesthetic upgrades.
Not your grandma's sedan.
During this era, Polestar was to Volvo like a Swedish version of Mercedes to AMG or M to BMW. But just as soon as the name Volvo started appearing next to Mercedes or BMW, something happened that changed the course of Volvo racing forever. In 2010, Volvo was bought by Chinese automotive conglomerate Geely. Geely also owns Lotus and a big portfolio of brands many of you have probably never heard of. Once 2018 rolled around, though, Volvo was completely removed from motorsports. What the brand had going in this realm since the mid-80s was officially over. However, in its place, Geely replaced it with another firm. While Volvo and Polestar pivoted in similar directions towards streetcars, their pals at Cyan Racing shifted to campaigning a model manufactured under the Lincoln Company brand.
Lincoln, we don't really talk about this company on our channel at all.
No.
I think it got brought up once in one of the first wheelhouses I ever wrote.
Really?
Yeah. It was like Chinese cars are stealing something. Mm-hmm. But it was like basically how they don't, in China, they don't really respect international copyright laws as much. And so because of that, there's like knockoff Jeeps. Mm-hmm. There's knockoff Land Rovers. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln Co. got brought up as like one of the legit companies because they have all of, you know, Polestar and Cyan, their racing pedigree behind it.
That being said, Joe, Lincoln Co.'s road cars aren't really anything to write home about, apparently, and the company is best known for hybrids and subscription-based services for driving its cars. But their race cars, particularly the Lincoln Co. 03, is a different story. I think this is in Forza. You can drive it in Forza. This became, and still is, the basis for Cyan Racing's touring car racing efforts around the globe, particularly in Europe and China. Thankfully, it's just as rad seeing the 03 jump curbs and rub fenders in racing form as its now Geely umbrella forefather, the S60, C30, S40, and so on. Though, it's been a bit of an odd man out, as it races in some countries where it isn't sold. Cyan Racing now campaigns the 03 under the FIA TCR rulebook alongside Audis, Hondas, Hyundais, and one random Alfa Romeo that races in IMSA's Michelin Pilot Challenge. Its main focus is still on the WTCC as well. In 2019, the team claimed the manufacturer's title, the first time ever for a Chinese manufacturer, as well as a third consecutive team title for Cyan.
I do think we're going to see many more Chinese racing teams moving forward.
Fast forward a few years, and Cyan won every single team title up to 2023. Good Lord. Last year, in 2024, Cyan Racing finished second in the FIA TCR World Tour with its gaggle of Lincoln Co. 03s. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
To complicate the changing and swapping around of names a little bit further, Polestar has now branched off as an entirely separate automaker that focuses solely on electric vehicles.
I like their cars a lot.
Everybody does.
Comprising a few Volvo styling cues, but under Geely. But Volvo makes EVs as well, and they share platforms with Polestars. It can be a little confusing. But now that I say it out loud, I understand it. Now I get it. It's not that confusing.
You gotta be a huge idiot if you don't understand all this.
The Polestar 1 is technically a plug-in hybrid and received rave reviews when it was released. Prominent British car journalist Chris Harris even bought one. And if he likes it, you know it's good. It makes 619 horsepower from its electric motors and small gasoline engine, has 52 miles of electric-only range, and is thoroughly beautiful. While some auto journos criticized its firm ride and lack of steering feel, others didn't care. It proved that environmentally friendly could come in beautiful, luxurious packaging and even be fun to drive as well. They followed the success of the Polestar 1 with the Polestar 2.
I did not see that coming.
At nearly one-third the price, the 2 is a steal considering its performance. One particular spec worth mentioning is the 2023 Polestar 2 BST Edition 270. That's a mouthful. A one of 270 performance-oriented Polestar 2 sporting two-way adjustable Ohlins dampers, lightweight forged wheels, a healthy 64 horsepower bump over the normal dual-motor Polestar 2 performance pack, got stiffer springs, and an exterior graphics package.
So this is 476 horsepower total. Still less than the Polestar 1, but like way more affordable.
And this is an EV. The graphics package, it's basically a racing stripe down the middle with the number 2.
Negative space 2.
Negative space 2. Very well said, Joe. That's pretty neat. I'm kind of over the Battleship gray.
I don't like this gray. Why does everything have to be this gray?
We were driving on the 101 yesterday, and there's like...
Tell me you're from California without telling me you're from California.
There's this gang of like supercar drivers. Two anecdotes I'll share with you. One, we got past going 90 I was in like the third lane over, and this McLaren passed me on the right side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Blasted by me. And I noticed for a second, I was like, that's a woman driving that car. And then
what did Chloe have to say about
well,
that?
Well, no, 2 seconds later, it's funny because like there's this Porsche GT3 that blew by us.
Then I looked in the mirror and had a good look at myself for judging a woman in a sports car.
This lady blasts by me in the McLaren. I clocked that for a sec, just internally. I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then she's
woman
like,
driver.
Well, no, how often do you see women driving supercars like assholes on the freeway?
Probably as many times as I've seen a dude driving one as an asshole.
I don't know if that's true. But
you don't
that.
See it all the time.
I know. Just, but
all right, go ahead. Go ahead.
And then Chloe's like, you would just never see a woman do that. And I was like, oh, I just did though. Yeah. And then there's like a Model 3 trying to catch up with that. Was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Anyway, part of this gang, the supercar gang, that looked like it was out of a Cars movie, by the way. Was
they had faces,
four door Bentley, like one of the top trim ones. And I was like, that's a $400,000 car, but it was in like a battleship gray, like very drab color. And I was like, dude, if you're going to spend 400 grand on this car,
that's the thing about a Bentley. They have that program where you literally like take the color spectrum and you're like, I want mauve. I want whatever. Why would you pick gray?
Well, I just don't get it, man.
I think Porsche has a pretty cool gray.
There's good grays out there. Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
my Audi,
are good grays.
Yeah,
my Audi gray, I like.
You painted your belly button?
Yeah, I want it to be more obtrusive. Is that a word? Obtrusive. Yeah. Does that mean what I think it means?
You want it to be obtrusive, like in the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I want really it to be more stand out, like, and distract people at the beach.
And then I've been wearing cutoff shirts too. Face
again.
You know what? I'm not at the beach.
Yeah.
Wear it like cut off.
I have noticed the cutoff shirts.
The court. What's your other anecdote?
Well, it was the lady thing.
Yes.
And then it was the Bentley thing. So
both anecdotes are tied together.
Yeah, they're tied together. Okay. Yeah. Taking a look back at Volvo, Flash Engineering, Polestar, and Cyan Racing shared high performance past, you realize just how prolific they were. And yet, their names rarely get brought up. And in a way, the history of Volvo in racing mirrors Volvo's history on the road. Influential, forward-thinking, and successful, yet completely under the radar. And while Porsche, BMW, Ferrari, McLarens driven by ladies, and others may all get motorsports acclaim, Volvo has never taken their finger off the pulse in the 100 years that they've been around. Both as a company and in various racing outfits, Volvo has gone against the grain and proven that boxy wagons, safety, and even front-wheel drive touring cars can be cool as hell. Much like the car itself, the future of Volvo is unknown. But if Volvo has proven anything, it's that they can make the mundane exciting. In a world of rising fuel standards and electrification. And in a world of rising fuel standards. And in a world
I can't
of,
even read I the word talk, I like gas man. So much.
We're like one sentence away, dude. And in a world of rising fuel standards and electrification, maybe Volvo is exactly what we need.
It's
and
just a blur to Nolan on the screen. You can't focus on the words.
I also like that, like, you liken dinosaurs to liking
I know.
Gas that is made out of their bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shit. Well, that was that.
Yeah.
No, it was a great series. That was a fun one.
That was fun.
Dang, yeah, I enjoyed that.
Now I'm just like, I have so many tabs open up with like
I know
an those. 850,
yeah.
a P1800, a 240 turbo.
Amazon. Yeah, dude. Wow. I don't know. I have a newfound appreciation for this company.
I love Volvo. Yeah. You know what? I put it on the record. I love Volvo.
Put it on the record. We got some listener mail that we'd like to put on the record.
From Tommy D. Basher. What does that mean?
DeBasher.
Oh, DeBasher. The subject line is, love that sweet, sweet Nolan anchor voice.
Well, thank you.
Love the show plus Big 3 and DRS. I was hooked after I heard my first episode about Smokey Unick. I've listened to every episode multiple times since.
Damn. Thank
you. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm the sole mechanic in a small town shop in West Virginia. This big draw to the town is that George Washington used to take baths here. It's weird.
Also, That it lets you know how bad people stunk back then.
Yeah.
Like, this is where you'd go to a place to take a bath.
George Washington's coming to town. He's going to take a bath again. I've included some pics of a 67 Mustang that the shop owner is building and my Project Ranger on some big old 33s.
Hell yeah.
Love you all. You keep me motivated while turning wrenches all day.
Well, thanks, Tommy.
Look. That Mustang is sick.
It's going to be sick.
I love the black.
Yep. Yeah, that's real nice.
And the Ranger is
John
sick,
Wick would drive.
With the tonneau cover and the black D windows. Or what do they call them? Those aren't D windows.
That's like eight holes.
Eight holes.
Yeah, eight hole wheels.
Yeah.
Got a nice mud terrain tread on there, brother.
D Basher, we love it.
Thank you, Tommy, dude. Thanks for the mail. If you'd like to write into the show, you can at passgas@donutmedia.com. We might read your email live on the air.
And you might hear it recorded.
Yeah.
Months later.
Yeah. Follow the boys at Bids Bardo, at Joji Weber, and at Nolan Sykes. Big thank you to Audrey and Edgar behind the scenes, as always.
And our writer this week, Peter Nelson.
That's right.
TheDrive.com.
Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on the platform of your choice if you think we're doing a good job, or some constructive criticism down below in the comments or wherever. We do appreciate it. And with that, what are we talking about next week, Joe?
Next week, we're going to be talking about Moon Eyes. So
Moon Eyes.
Listen to that. We're going from Sweden to Southern California to Japan and back to Southern California again.
Okay. Hell yeah. Can't wait for that. We'll see you then next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.